All right, welcome back to the Education Matters podcast. We got a cool one today. I had a great conversation with Katie Duke, who's kind of a leading voice among nurses in the United States. She's been on ABC, on New York Med, and NYER, on the Oprah Winfrey Network and Discovery Health channels. And she's become a spokesperson in the nursing sector. And so we have an interesting conversation about her path that led to nursing and her advice for people considering the profession. And it's more than that, too. We talk about the choices she made on her journey, and she's got a very inspirational story. And so I hope you find it as inspirational as I did. Thanks. Katie, good afternoon. Thanks for making the time to visit with us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
So let's start at the beginning. You're from St. Louis. What's your story, background? How did you go from a kid in St. Louis, Missouri to nursing?
I was born and raised in St. Louis, and I actually have always been familiar with nursing because I have about six nurses in my family. My mom, my sister, my aunt, my cousin, my other cousin, and then myself, actually. Huh. But what happened was, I never really wanted to be a nurse growing up. I always wanted to be something crazy interesting, like a forensic criminal lawyer for the FBI or a chef or something. I don't know. I always had all these interesting dreams of what I wanted to be. But I realized while I was sort of hit a low point in my life, I was making $5.15 an hour making sandwiches, and I was attending a culinary program at the local community college in St. Louis, that I really needed to do something different in life that would give me, you know, job security and satisfaction and the ability to work with people.
Yep.
And I saw an infomercial for a school of nursing that was a local school in St. Louis, and I decided to apply. And I applied, I got in, and it was kind of a, well, all right, I guess I'm going to do this nursing thing. So I started working in a hospital as a patient care tech, and I took it very seriously because I loved helping people and hearing their stories and being with them during their times of need. And so it kind of felt like I was in the right place.
Did you start off as an ER nurse?
No. I started out with my associate's degree, actually, from a school in St. Louis, and I started off on a med-surg floor, which I think was truthfully like the best thing to do, because a lot of people don't like med-surg because it's a lot of work and you have a lot of patients and it's not a very glorious place, but it's where you lay the foundation down for learning how to take care of patients. And so I got tons of experience from there, and I really learned the building blocks to becoming a good and experienced nurse. So when I started there, I worked on med-surg for a few years, and I additionally would rotate to other floors occasionally if I got pulled. And eventually, I kind of felt the need that I wanted to do something else. So I went to a cardiothoracic unit at another hospital and started working there and put in my few years there, and then did some travel nursing locally in Missouri and got experience in long-term acute care facilities, wound and vent hospitals for brain dead and comatose patients, on psych, on neurosurgery, on trauma, and I eventually wound up in the ER.
Out of all those stops, which stop was the most impactful, and where did you learn the most?
There isn't one significant stop that was the most impactful. Each area of nursing allows you to learn different things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I learned more in working in neurosurgery than I did in med-surg. It's just a different set of protocols and parameters and patient population and demographics and skills and assessment abilities. And it's a different set of physicians. It's a different set of medications. Everything changes.
Yep.
But that's what makes each area so special and such an impact on your growing progression of your nursing world, is because with each one, you're learning all new stuff that's building on the stuff you had previously. And I had a good foundation because I spent, you know, those first 2 years on med-surg, and it really added to all of the other specialties that I would later get into.
That's great. What brought you out to New York?
It's kind of funny because it doesn't really have anything to do with nursing, but I was working as a nurse, and then I was also working with like a local group of like hip-hop producers and artists,
mm-hmm.
and I was managing one of them just as like a side. I've always loved the music industry, but I was working as a nurse, and I just kind of felt like there was just something bigger and better out there for me, and I felt like St. Louis was doing nothing but kind of keeping me stagnant. And after we all get comfortable, we kind of settle into our digs, and it's like you lose the motivation to do bigger and better things for yourself. And I was about 215 pounds. I was severely overweight. I was not hanging around a very good crowd of people, and I had hit that standstill, and I was like, I need to go as far away from St. Louis as I possibly can. One of my friends who was working in hip-hop, he's like, hey, why don't you move to New York? Everybody can make it in New York. And it was this overnight decision that I made, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to move to New York. I felt like there was just something bigger out there waiting for me, but I had to go get it myself. So I packed up everything, secured a job as a travel nurse, drove a U-Haul with my mom and dad to New York City, and that was the first time I'd ever been to New York was the day I moved up here.
Wow. That's an incredible story. Where are you in New York?
Well, I started out on the Upper East Side, which is in Manhattan, and then I moved to a different neighborhood in Manhattan, and then I lived in Queens for 2 years, and now I live in Harlem.
Cool. At what point your career had this odd turn? At what point did television become part of nursing for you?
It really did just like fall into my lap, literally. And I'm very thankful for it because people work for their entire lives to try and get on TV, and people sacrifice and work for years and years to try and do that. And it literally fell into my lap. So I was working as a nurse at a hospital, and the hospital had just received word, basically, that they were going to be filming a documentary show with ABC, a medical documentary series, and they're going to be filming in the trauma surgery, they're going to be filming in the ER, they're going to be filming in women's health, and we were like, all right, well, that's interesting, but, you know, none of us really thought that they were going to film nurses, because everybody knows that a nurse can't get on TV unless she's a serial killer, scandalous, or stripping. So we just assumed, oh, well, you know, that's great. They're going to come film at the hospital, but they're not going to film nurses, whatever. We kept going with our regular lives. And needless to say, a few weeks later, we see these producers walking around the ER. And I was in charge that day, and they saw how I worked with my colleagues and how I worked with my patients. And just sort of, I guess you could call, like, the Kitty Duke package between, you know, my story as an individual and as a professional and sort of as a New York transplant with a dream and tattoos and rides a motorcycle. They're like, you're kind of interesting. We'd like to follow you. And it was all different from there. After the first TV show, while we were building all of this, I started building a social media platform because season one had 36 million viewers. And that is a huge, huge impact. But it's also pretty substantial because I also realize there's a big void in our industry. There's not a female healthcare correspondent, nor is there a nurse anywhere in the media that Americans or that the public can turn to, you know, as part of who they get their health information and knowledge and guidance from. And I feel the need to fill that void with somebody who's not Nurse Jackie, because that's not what we represent.
Why do you think that that gap exists? You're right. I mean, I don't think about it until you brought it up before I was doing research for this podcast, but you're right. There aren't any prominent nurse voices. Why do you think that is?
This is where it could get kind of tricky. And I'll be honest with you, there's a few different, I guess you could call, quote, theories to why that could be. For one, nursing has always been a very, you know, humble profession, a very thankless profession, and a profession that's never been in the media spotlight, ever, unless it's been something scandalous. So that's sort of been our precedent. But secondly, it's always doctor, doctor, doctor in the media, because if you think about who drives the income for the hospitals, nurses don't make hospitals and healthcare organizations any money. It's all physician-driven. It's billing. They get billable hours. Nurses are included in the room and board charge. And if you think about politics and how people basically spin things in the spotlight these days and on the media, what is the media going to buy into and going to put out there? The people that make the constituency money. So I'm not going to get started on a whole politicky conversation, but everything is always doctor, doctor, doctor. It's this big old boys club of physicianhood. And again, I'm not combating my physician counterparts. I'm not going up against them. We're a team, and it takes a collaborative team to deliver healthcare. But all I'm saying is that there's never been a nurse who's put themselves out there in the media, and there needs to be. And that is a void that I'm going to be filling.
Well, that's great. Talk about how has your life changed in the last couple of years as your profile has grown and as you've kind of stepped into this role?
I voluntarily stepped into it, and I knew that it would be a life-changing, you know, progression of events, but I started all of this in 2011, and it's 2015, and I'm just now starting to get some recognition and some momentum, and I'm actually getting, you know, retained for speaking appearances, and I have all these great partnerships, and it is now becoming a source of income for me. And when you can actually parallel what you've been working so hard to get to for years with something that can actually help sustain your life, and it's not just a job anymore, it's almost like a dream come true when that happens. So I've been working for years and years to get to the point where I'm at, and this is just the beginning. And I have to say there's been a lot of learning processes in the way. You know, you learn that you can't please everybody. You learn that the internet is a very interesting world, and you learn that not everybody speaks the same language as you, and you also learn what the needs of the people are, but you also learn that you have an accountability and a responsibility as a public figure when you step out into that arena. And once you understand, you know, that years of sacrifice and effort and work go into that, you appreciate those moments with much greater appreciation.
For the nurses or the potential nurses out there listening to this, what advice do you have for them? Or, you know, if you think about yourself at the beginning of your nursing journey, what are some things you wish you had known or perspective you wished you had had at that point that you want to share with others?
I wish at the beginning of my nursing journey, I would have had somebody be a little more stringent with me about finishing my BSN. I started out as an associate's nurse, and when I started out, I just wanted to get done the quickest way possible, and I wanted to do the least amount of school and the least amount of time, just hurry up and put me in the workforce so I can make a paycheck. And again, this is like 12, 13, 14 years ago, but still, I wish that if somebody would have really sat me down and said, listen, you really put the extra time in now and just finish your BSN. It's only a year and a half or 2 years beyond what you're doing. Stay in the program you're in. You know, just do it now. My life, like, I wouldn't have spent the last 10 years trying to make up the fact that I didn't do that 15 years ago. And it would have saved me time. It would have saved me money. I feel like I could have contributed so much more to the work that I did with committees and, you know, quality and safety measurements and protocols and just my own practice, if I would have done that years ago, instead of trying to play catch-up. Now, I'm not combating, you know, associate's degree nurses versus BSN nurses, who's better. This is not that whatsoever. I'm talking about the journey of somebody's education and the time that we spend, you know, with our lives and our money and the efforts, and doing it the fastest way is not always the right way to do it. And I wish somebody would have really sat me down and told me that a long time ago, because it just would have saved me a lot of time and money and effort now.
Yeah. Nursing can be a high-stress, high-strain job. How do you deal day in and day out with the stresses of it? And how do you deal with it now that you've kind of got this extra layer now of this role that you've taken on as kind of a public spokesperson?
Those are two different things. First part of the question is, nursing can be a very high-stress, high chaotic environment. That's not even can. Nursing is a high-stress environment. Every single shift, every single moment, every single day, every single night, nursing and healthcare is the only profession, you know, other than fire and EMS and first responders and, you know, police that deal with every spectrum of human emotions every single time they go into work. Life, death, triumph, failure, everything in between. And on top of that, you're responsible for taking care of other people's loved ones. And there's no amount of training that can go into that. It is just something that is very inherent to the profession. So how do nurses handle these very chaotic and stressful environments? Honestly, we're trained to. That's what we learn from the minute we go to nursing school is, all right, guys, you know, this is where we're going to learn about empathy, and this is how we're going to learn about de-escalating a violent patient, and this is how we're going to learn about dealing with a very difficult situation or a difficult colleague. That's part of nursing. So there are people who can cope with those situations better than other people, obviously, but it's an ever-growing aspect of our profession. And I think as you progress in years and years and years of experience, you get better at dealing with that. that, but you also find out how you deal with those things. And I, again, think it's something that makes nursing a very special constituent of healthcare providers because it, there's just no other profession like it. As far as my position as a public figure, you know, again, I voluntarily stepped out into the middle of that arena. And I can say that it's been a learning curve for me also because when you step out and try to represent your profession, not everybody's going to agree with what you're doing and not everybody is going to like what you're doing. But if I can have an impact at the end of every 24-hour period on only one person and help inspire them or help them sort through an issue or just give them a little motivation and push to keep on going, then I know I've succeeded at the end of that day. And if the next day I can reach 10 people and do the same thing and then they reach 10 people, I am having a greater impact on my profession every night that I do that.
Katie, you've been really generous with your time. I want to end on one last question. I think the most interesting thing that you said and the note that I want to end on is you found yourself at a point in your life where you needed to make a change and do something different, whether that's in nursing or any other field. I think that's something that a lot of folks attending Capella can identify with. I think it's common to a lot of adults. And you made a change in your life, and that was something that took a lot of courage. What would you say to someone who is looking in the mirror and saying that they know they need to make a change, but can't quite figure out what that change is or how to go about it? What advice would you give them?
The first and strongest piece of advice that I would give that I sort of took is you have to sit down and think, what about your life do you want to change? Where are your problems? My problems were that I was like, you know, when you go to a boat dock and you see that water by the boat that just never moves and it collects all the dead fish and all the algae and it just looks disgusting. And then you go out in the boat and you're seeing in the middle of the lake or the middle of the ocean this beautiful blue wavy water with energy and life. I went from that stagnant, nasty water by the boat dock, and I literally sat there for a long time, and I had to think, what do I want to change about this, about my life? What do I not like about my life? And it took a lot of decisions and a lot of really contemplating, do I have the balls to do this, to get my boat out into the middle of the lake? And I can tell you that the first step in doing that is sitting down and realizing, all right, am I ready for change? What do I want to change? And what are my resources that I need to use in order to plot that out? Because if you don't set goals, if you don't realize, all right, I'm overweight. I need to lose 15 pounds. When I lose that 15, I'll go there. Here's how I can lose 15 pounds. I'm going to consult a personal trainer. I'm going to see my healthcare provider. I'm going to cut out processed food. I'm going to work out 3 days a week. Set goals. Evaluate yourself. It's a simple process in life when you realize that you make a change, but you have to realize that first is, am I ready to make a change? That would be my advice.
Well, Katie, we're excited to be partnering with you. You're going to be doing a tour with Capella this year, and we're really excited about it. I really appreciate you taking the time to visit a little bit, and I hope you have a great afternoon.